50 Tile with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone. And we want to thank you for joining us this Sunday afternoon and spending a little bit of your time with us. Hopefully we can bring you a little fitness education along with a little fun talk this afternoon. We're jumping from topic to topic this semester. So we got from last week to this week, big change, wouldn't you say, Sheena?
I would say so. You know, I think, too, with this afternoon being focused on fitness, that'll be your arena. I can do the fun part that you kind of mentioned. So I think it'll be a good balance. But how's your week been this past week, John?
You know, it's been a weird week. Mm-hmm. And I think you'd say the same thing. We started the week off with kind of hot. We go from kind of rather warm weather to a little hurricane weather to cooling off and having kind of a relatively cool week.
I've been curious to see how our students have adjusted, you know, especially the ones that are, we have so many out-of-state students. You wonder how they prepared in terms of bringing their wardrobe to campus. So
right.
I've seen some people kind of struggling on, okay, I wear layers in the morning and then by the afternoon I'm having to wear a wife beater again or whatever it may be, you know.
Did you have to go with the wife beater?
It was the first, I don't know why that came out.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. This time of year, I guess it was probably 5 or 6 years ago, I went to a conference in Columbus, Ohio at Ohio State. And it was probably low 80s when I got there. And, you know, August, low 80s, I'm thinking this is absolutely great.
Sure, sure.
It felt great. And there were probably about 12 or 15 people from Ohio State that were at the meeting with us. And they were carrying around fans and umbrellas. And it was so hot because it was in the low 80s. But I'm like, man, it feels good because we're used to – this time of year around here is usually still in the 90s. So
right,
looking
yeah.
good.
This has been just a nice change. I was telling a coworker earlier this week I'm preparing to go to a conference in Chicago in October. So I've been trying to predict what the weather will be like, you know, being Filipino. My people hail from the equator, so I don't always do as well with the cold stuff. So I'm just trying to strategically pack for that. I'm sure lots of animal print, much to my husband's disdain, but, you know, it'll be okay.
He doesn't like the animal print?
No, and especially there have been weeks where I've worn something animal print every single day of the week, and I need to explain to him that animal print is like a neutral in my closet. That's like me having like black or denim or whatever else. But, you know, it's just one of those things.
I love getting the inside view of what's going on in your head sometimes.
Yeah,
it cracks me up.
You know, I just, hey, we're trying to make some good air time this afternoon.
But, yeah, it's talking of fitness and what we're going to talk about today, you know, with the weather getting cooler earlier, we've been, you know, we spend so much time talking about exercising in the heat around this part of the country.
Right.
You know, it's rare that we get, you know, really good weather to exercise outside. And this is the time of year, you know, if this can keep up, we might have a, you know, good couple of months to exercise, you know, get some good fun outside time.
I agree. It makes it nicer, you know, nice little change in scenery overall. We've got some great places on campus for people to utilize. It's been great watching students and the rest of our campus community utilize the quad, playing frisbee and being active with the dog and whatever else. So it's kind of, I'm living vicariously through them because I've not done any of those activities yet myself this semester. So
yeah, I'm teaching a night class, and I get jealous because, you know, when I'm going to class, well, the last two nights, first two nights of class, meets once a week, but I've gone, it's been just like perfect outside to go run, and it's like all these people outside running, and I'm stuck going to class.
Yeah,
but that's okay.
Yeah. Which you are, yeah, and you're an outdoor runner, aren't you?
I like to go outside, but I like to work out inside too.
Yeah.
I'm an old school Stairmaster kind of guy, so
okay.
I like that, but I do like to run outside.
Now, are you morning or evening kind of exerciser?
Both. Okay. Yeah, I can get up at 4:30 in the morning and go run, and I like to work out all. I could work out all the time.
Man,
I could be a professional worker outer. Not a. I noticed I didn't say professional bodybuilder.
Yes.
I knew you'd laugh
at that.
No, I like
that clarification because I would have totally nailed you on that.
I knew you would have.
Well, I'm hoping, you know, with us talking fitness today, you and our wonderful guests will inspire me to be even more active. I've tried to up my game this year. I'll mention that as our conversations go on. But you guys, this afternoon, we have got a treat. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone, and we will catch you after the break.
We're the Mountain Assembly, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone!
Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone, and we're continuing our talk this afternoon. We've got a great guest that we want to join us, and we're getting in, Sheena, back to my neck of the woods. You know, last week, spent a lot of time talking about nutrition and learned a lot of, got a lot of good things, a lot of good information about how to eat healthy on campus.
Right.
And I mean, your take home from that conversation, what would you say if you had to, I don't want to put you on the spot here, but a couple of points, you know, that you think were the most important that we covered last week?
You know, I think, for one, it was great for our campus community to know what kind of resources are available on campus, too, especially those that may need special accommodations with the food allergies. That was really great for us to talk about that. I really enjoyed us also having some fun debunking that freshman 15 myth,
right,
you know, and kind of revealing to our listeners that the actual weight gain that a lot of our first-year students incur is not 15 pounds. You know, it's
right,
probably because you and I are so awesome with what we do.
That's
you
right.
know.
We have completely like changed
that.
The weight
yeah.
gain around
exactly.
here.
Exactly. So if anybody's listening that has any part in our salaries, just take note
keep
of how yeah, take note of how awesome we are. But really, though, I mean, just with the amount of variety, and then I know you and I, we always both like to emphasize, whether it's nutrition-related goals or fitness goals, actually making that a priority in the same way that students do for the rest of their schedule, because I think, to me, an essential piece is making sure that they are making eating a priority as far as getting consistency and timing of their food, and then of course consistency with the fitness piece like we'll be talking about today too.
Right. So. Well, our guest today and the person that I actually couldn't have gotten a better person to do this, because I really wanted to, instead of focusing so much on the technical part of training, this guy that we have here with us today is I'm going to let him tell his story because he can tell it better than anybody, but it's a great story, you know, of how as personal trainers, me personally, the reason I got into the business was, you know, I enjoyed helping people. It wasn't it was a good job to start with, but, you know, it's always been a good job, but I like helping people. And
yeah.
when you see that, you know, he and I were talking about this last week. The light bulb goes off for them, and you see that you're making a change in their life. It's such, you know, it's there's nothing like it, and that's kind of why, you know, that's why I do it. That's why, you know, and it's such an important thing. And
yeah.
you know, Cal is great at that, and Cal Chalker is has been one of our trainers for Cal. Tell me, it's 3 years.
Let's see. Yeah, this just started my fourth year.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
With UREC training, personal training, yeah.
Yeah, and a little background, Cal, you were actually came in as a personal training client of ours. So
I did. I started out, well, that's funny, yeah, I did. I started out as a personal training client.
Okay.
And that would have been now, 6 or 7 years ago. And throughout that process of training, I had an amazing trainer, Ed Richardson, if you're listening. But I started out as a client and training, and then completely fell in love with the process.
Yeah.
When I started out, it was like you were talking about earlier. I was started my master's, and I'd really gotten behind in schoolwork. I had a bunch of stuff going on back home, and I was just not in a good place. And I'd actually sought therapy for it, and it had gotten to the point that I'd tried medication, and I, as a last-ditch effort, I said, you know what, I'm going to try fitness. I've heard
That's
you
awesome.
Can get a great endorphin kick from it, and I did, and it worked, and it completely pulled me out of a depression. And then after about a year and a half, almost 2 years of training as a client with UREC training, my trainer said, you know what, you would be really good at this. And I'd never thought about fitness as a career,
mm-hmm.
and then that's what started it, and then it just went from there.
That's awesome. You know, and especially to hear that, too, from the personal trainer that you worked with as a client, to hear that person say, you would be good at this. I'm sure
yes.
that was probably one of just a really high compliment and a huge motivator with all
oh,
of that.
Oh, it was. It very much was a great motivation for me. And then so after he mentioned that, I said, well, what do I need to do? And then, of course, I found out I needed to get, you know, certified as a mm-hmm. personal trainer. And so I bought the books and then just started studying, and then took the personal training test, and I got certified. And then I went to my our then boss, Jason, and said, would you want to hire me? And he said, yes, in a heartbeat. And so then I started working at UREC.
So, we have to back up a little bit, because you left out a very important fact here.
Oh, okay.
Why don't you tell Sheena and everybody else what your major was? You couldn't have been farther from fitness when you were when you came to school here.
Yes. Actually, I was at UA getting a degree in music.
Really?
Yes. Actually a degree in church music, and with a concentration in pipe organ.
Oh my land.
So yes, you couldn't be more further from fitness than getting a music degree. So,
well, can you still tickle the ivories? Are the keys ivory on an organ?
They're ivory and wood, actually. So
okay,
yes.
Okay. Sorry, John is laughing at me and my use of terminology.
Well, it's funny to me. Plus, I know nothing about music either, so I'm just like sitting here. But that's really cool. Do you play any other instruments?
Well, by default, piano. Okay. But mainly just organ.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Right.
Sure. Mm-hmm. So during that time, you know, when you decided you wanted to be a personal trainer, I know you mentioned doing the studying and taking the exam. How long was that process for you? Just as far as kind of giving our listeners a realistic time frame of what it would take.
From the moment I made the choice and said, all right, I'm going to do this. So I went and I actually took a course that helps prepare a person mm-hmm. to take the involved personal training
right.
test. And it was, I would say, a seven month process.
Okay.
From the moment that I made the decision through with all the studying and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So, yes.
Yes, it's not an easy certification to get.
No, it is not. Yeah. That was one of the hardest things, other than my music degree, that I've ever had to do.
Right.
But the things I've learned from it have been amazing.
Yeah. No, and I think just, you know, knowing that you came from something that's completely unrelated to fitness, but found a passion in fitness, like with your own personal life, I think that's huge. And gosh, I'm getting excited just with our conversation this afternoon.
Well, and for me, it was just when I noticed that, wait, fitness can it pulled me back from a mental standpoint back into good standing. Mm-hmm. I mean, it helped me in more ways than I can ever imagine.
Sure.
And going into it, you were talking about, you know, all the issues that you were having to deal with.
Yes.
And, you know, and knowing that or having heard that exercise could help with that. Did you expect to receive all of those benefits that you got, or is it just
No, I did not. I expected maybe, okay, I'll feel a little bit better, but I was happier, and I also noticed a direct correlation in my master's program, because it helped a lot with how I was handling my school career.
Right. Mm-hmm. When you start looking at it, you know, all the wellness stuff, and that's kind of what we like to emphasize on here. You know.
Oh, it all ties in together. The mental, the physical aspects of it are just, they are one, really.
No, and I'm sure, you know, that's probably something, too, that you emphasize with your clients whenever you're talking to them about their own fitness journeys and how that kind of carries over to other aspects of their life, too. And, you know, Cal, we've got a great afternoon planned with you. All of these new questions are popping in my head, but I know that we're about to have to take a break as well with everything. And, you know, Cal, we'll be talking more about your story. We're going to kind of get your insight in your functions as a personal trainer. You know, what are some things that you're seeing in the industry these days? But you guys, we've got to take a break. We know that you want to stick around this afternoon, so just hold tight for our break and we will catch you soon. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hi, I'm Michael Kasky. I'm a civil engineering major, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
Whoa. Welcome back. You are listening to Fit to be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone. If you are just now joining us, we have been having an amazing conversation with Cal Chalker, one of the personal trainers at University Recreation. And, you know, Cal has been telling us, you know, his story about going from a major of music to becoming a personal trainer. And, you know, Cal, I was just thinking over the break, what is your philosophy on training, or what kind of personal trainer would you kind of describe yourself as that makes you unique?
Well, let's see. That's a good question. My philosophy on personal training is that I think if whatever someone is coming to you, whatever they need help with, obviously with fitness, but I want to be there to hopefully eventually get the person to a point that maybe that they don't need a trainer,
mm-hmm.
that they are comfortable enough in a gym setting and they know they have the knowledge that they can do this by themselves.
That's great.
Yeah, I look at maybe a personal trainer as kind of training wheels into the fitness mm-hmm.
yeah,
arena.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, I've done this for a long time myself, and I've always said people generally come to get a trainer and sign up for a personal trainer because they, number one, for one of two reasons, mm-hmm. and I'm sure there are some other things out there, but generally is that they don't have the knowledge and want to hire the expertise of the trainer mm-hmm. and want to pay for that, or they're not motivated enough. And so it's, you know, usually being one of those things, and you're like me in that you and I have talked about this some over the years. I absolutely cannot stand to see somebody come in and be intimidated, too intimidated to, you know, be able to work out in our facility.
Well, and that actually happens a lot. And one of the things that it makes my day when I see a client that in the beginning was petrified of going up to the main gym by themselves. And then I walk by and then I see that person over there working out alone without any help. And it makes my day as a trainer. And that's when I know this is what I love and this is right. what I want to do.
Right.
That's awesome. You know, thinking about your current clients and even the past group of clients that you've had, is there a particular type of client that you've enjoyed, whether it has been an older population or, you know, more of the college student, you know, is there a certain population you've been drawn to or anything else? I'm sure you've enjoyed everyone.
No, very much so. And it was funny because when I started this, I thought, okay, I'm going to be helping with, you know, people in their 20s and 30s with bodybuilding. And that's kind of what I went into it thinking, I'm going to have a lot of students. And I actually couldn't be more further from that, although I do have students, but I train with faculty and staff, mm-hmm. which have really opened my eyes to training someone who is not like myself.
Sure.
And that has helped me grow so much as a trainer in knowing so much more. Actually,
mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Cal, if you've worked with a lot of different people, you know, I know you work with Ed as your trainer, mm-hmm. and you know, you've worked with a lot of different trainers as coworkers. If somebody were to be looking for a trainer, looking to hire a trainer to work with them, besides the academic credentials that are required, the national certification, which you know may or may not be required in some gyms, but you know, you'd like to see. Take those things out of the picture. What characteristics or traits should a person look for in a trainer?
Well, I definitely would say, other than, you know, physical appearance and how they look, personality means a lot, I think. It really how the client and the trainer interact mm-hmm. and if there is a good dynamic there. I would say personality would be one of the things that that I would look for.
Right, being able mm-hmm. to have that camaraderie with the
exactly, media. And one of the things we talk about is developing a rapport, is being right. able to develop that connection with someone.
Well, you know, and just to kind of piggyback off of that, and again thinking about your own past experiences, is there a specific like client success story that you've kind of held in your mental trophy case, just as far as like kind of a win with a client?
Oh, there are many. There are so many, and just one that that sticks out in, really in my mind, was this client came in to me and they said, you know what, I would like to do a 5K. And I said, all right, well, let's start going for that. And we started, and this person had really not had any practice for it. And we started at the beginning and just worked our way up. And then it was great seeing, because I think it was, I would say, maybe 3 or 4 months after we started training together, that this person actually went and they ran their first 5K. And
that's
it was
amazing.
Wonderful knowing that I helped them prepare for that.
Right, right.
And then after the fact, they came up to me and they said, well, I really wouldn't have been able to do that without you. And then that just, that got me.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
That's what makes it worthwhile.
That's awesome.
Yeah. You know, when Sheena said that about being successful, how would you describe, aside from meeting those physical goals like that, how would you describe being successful with a client?
Well, let's see. I guess it can be measured in different ways, but one way I would measure success in is if the client is hitting or attaining their goals. If, you know, they came in and said, well, I want to run a mile. Well, are they working toward that? And if they're attaining those goals, that's really a big help.
One of the things that I've watched over the years is how you've got, you're really good at educating your clients too, as well. You don't just bring them in, take them through a workout, and then push them out the door when they're done. You know, I see you constantly talking to clients and not only just carrying on a good conversation with them, but kind of in a subtle way, teaching them how to do it on their own. Would you see that as being successful too?
I would. And that's one of the things that one of my goals is hopefully I can get to the point that this person doesn't need me anymore.
Yeah.
And so slowly kind of when we're in the gym is maybe doing a small little test. Well, oh, do you remember the steps that we go through to do a shoulder press with correct form? And with me, technique is a stickler. I've got to have good technique. So I really want that person to know the steps to go through to do a correct move.
Yeah. You know, Cal, even though I have not been a personal client of yours, there have been times where I've been working out at the rec and I've noticed you interacting with your clients. And let me say, the ladies love you. The older ladies love you. They are just the cutest things. And the way that I've seen you just have such an energy when you're engaging with them, you know, you'll be sitting there talking to them while they're on the rower. So when John told me that you would be our guest today, I was like, you know, that's just going to be just a great choice just in terms of representing our personal training on campus. So so it's just kind of great to pick your brain today.
Well, and that's been a part of it is that when I started this, I thought, oh, I'm just going to have 20-year-olds.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, now I've got a huge client load of, you know, faculty and staff, which has opened my eyes in personal training and helped me become a personal trainer,
yeah,
a better personal trainer.
Cal, what would you say, I mean, if you had to, just one word here right before we go to break, if you had to use one word to describe yourself as a trainer, what would that one word be? I know that's a tough question.
It is. one word, dynamic.
Dynamic.
Yes. Dynamic in the fact that you've got to be able to just think of things on the fly. Mm-hmm. And if someone's coming in with a sore shoulder and you had planned shoulder, you've got to come up with a whole new workout on the fly.
That'd be flexible.
And it's flexible. And
dynamic, yeah, absolutely. Good deal. Well, we're going to have to take a quick break. Can you join us after for one more segment?
Sure.
After this? Okay. We're going to take a quick break, but stay with us as we have more to come with our special guest today, Cal Chalker from University Recreation. You're listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, I'm Paul Feinbaum, my favorite station in the world, 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome Welcome back to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone. And we're concluding our conversation here this afternoon with Cal Chalker, who is a personal trainer at the Student Rec Center with University Recreation. Cal, it's been great having you here. We've had some good information. We got a little bit longer. Want to run some more things by you and get your opinion on a few things here. And I know Sheena has a few questions for you, too. One of the things that I've noticed, trending-wise in the fitness industry, we get these questions all the time, what's trending in the fitness industry? And it usually there are things that start out on the West Coast and work their way across, but that's the way it used to work. Now, it's not like that. It's a free-for-all. And you see so many gyms where you used to could go in and buy a gym membership and just go work out whenever you wanted to. Now, from what I've seen, there seems to be a bit of a trend moving toward – you're not just paying for a membership, but you're paying for programming. So you might come in and pay for a 9 o'clock class and go in with your 9 o'clock group of people and go through a 30 minute to an hour workout. There's several gyms in town, different names, different theories on how to do this, but they're all basically accomplishing the same thing. They're either using high-intensity interval training. They're using EPOC, excess post-exercise oxygen consumption, as kind of what their background is or what they're built around. What's your take on that and on the trends and what you're doing with your clients?
Well, definitely. You've seen a trend toward these group exercise mm-hmm. settings. And one of the things I thought about for maybe the reason, which is a great thing, these gyms serve a good purpose, is that, and I've noticed this personally, is that when I've been working with a client one-on-one, and maybe for a warm-up or something such as that, I will all of a sudden jump in and start doing a warm-up with them. And with some clients, I've noticed a marked difference in their performance from that minute that I started with them. They will all of a sudden jump into maybe it's a competition mode.
Uh-huh.
and all of a sudden they start pushing a little bit harder or they'll start doing a few more reps. And I think maybe with a lot of these big group workout gyms is that maybe it's going toward catering to that sort of that competition because mm-hmm. all of a sudden, wait, there's someone right next to me working out and maybe I need to push a little harder. And some people work like that and that helps them.
Well, just you using that example, I will say as someone who has utilized, group exercise to an extent like that, I do remember a time being in a workout class and a trainer that trains at one of the other times, like hopped in on our class and she was on the rower beside me. And that changed everything for me. I was like, I'm going to go into a little competition mode. I'm like, I'm going to see if I can beat this professional. So I would say our country, it runs and is fueled by some great competition. So why not have that in
That's
the gym?
True. And now, with that being said, I mean, some people do not mm-hmm. respond well to that.
Yeah.
And, of course, I mean, that you won't probably find them in those group settings.
Right.
They want more the one-on-one aspect mm-hmm. of personal training versus a group.
I would have to say, and I'm just the opposite of that. I'm with you on that. I hate the competition part of it. Mm-hmm. I guess growing up, playing sports in high school and that sort of thing, I've always being told how to work out. And, you're going through high school, your coaches say do this, do that, and it's around practice. I absolutely hated it. And when I got out of school, you couldn't pay me to work out.
Really?
Yeah. And then I realized, like, hey, I can work out on my own and stop when I want to and do what I want to and tailored around what I want to do and not just what they were telling me to do. Mm-hmm. And then I fell in love with it again. So it's kind of interesting the takes on it like that. Because some people do – some people really do thrive on – I got to have a partner. I got to be there because that partner's there. If you tell me I have to meet a partner there, I'm mm-hmm. going to have not nearly as good of a workout, and it's going to become a stressor for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
It absolutely does.
Well, and a lot of people love to have one of the reasons they probably came to personal training is to have that external motivation mm-hmm. and just to have someone there to help
that accountability. Yeah.
That's it.
Right.
Well, you know, I've just been sitting here throughout the afternoon listening to you guys talk shop about everything. And I'm kind of curious, you know, when it comes to being a fitness professional and being a personal trainer, what types of things or resources do you, Cal, and you, JJ, go to for you know, just for continuing to stay abreast of current trends, and even when you're telling your clients what kind of resources they can go to, you know, what kind of places do you look to yourself, or what do you tell clients?
Well, personally, as a personal trainer, I look to my colleagues. I work with some of the best mm-hmm. people I could ever have hoped to. And I get a lot of my motivation from a lot of my ideas from my colleagues.
Yeah, yeah.
And they help me with, like, I'll go through a workout with one of my my friends that works at personal training, and I'll get 4 or 5 new ideas from that, mm-hmm. from working out with other trainers.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I would have to say that's one of the things, you know, some of the guys that I graduated with that. You know, getting you have a background in music. You can't call your friends up like I can. I got my degree. You know, getting my degree in exercise science. But you know, when we sit around and talk, yeah. about exercise science stuff. So I get a lot of information from people like that and that sort of thing. But I honestly have to say that I've learned more probably from teaching and teaching at doing seminars for, you know, people in. For example, my wife's a physical therapist. I got some classes that physical therapists can take for continuing education credits, mm-hmm. and they're exercise-based classes. So I was able to teach those classes, and you know, I had to over prepare because I knew I had a really strong audience, mm-hmm. and you know, just preparing for those classes and learning and just. Learning like I had to teach it.
Yes.
I learned so much along those lines.
Well, and another thing that's been a great help to me is with personal trainer certification. That certification is – it doesn't just last. You don't have it forever. You've got to take continuing education classes
sure.
to keep your certification up to date. And those, I think, help keep the trainer, you know, just abreast of, you know, the new ideas mm-hmm. and training and things like that.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, I know I can't believe that our time this afternoon has been wrapping up so quickly, but, you know, John, you have created just some awesome questions for us to use with Cal today, and I noticed there was one, and I want to actually ask it to both of you guys. If you could choose one celebrity client to train, who would it be and why?
Use my own question against
me.
I know,
I did. I had to do that.
That's tough. Go ahead, Cal. I'm waiting on you, buddy.
Okay, so let's see. A celebrity client and why. Okay, going back with what you were saying that I tend to have older female clients, I would say, going along with that, Helen Mirren.
Wow.
Yes. There we go.
That was out of the box.
Okay.
Good choice.
Yes. And I think it would be really great to train, to be able to train her and mm-hmm. Assign workouts to
okay.
Helen Mirren.
Goodness gracious. Wow. Yeah. You've thrown me for a loop this afternoon. Okay, John. Ball's in your court.
Alicia Jackson, I love you to death, but Jessica Biel would be my one client.
Oh,
I will
man.
Leave it at that.
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. Well, you guys.
Because she has so much physical potential, I think I could bring the most out in her.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
Lots of dynamic movement happening there. Oh, my goodness. Well, y'all didn't make me regret asking that. That's actually really, really funny.
I hate you used my own question against me.
Well,
that's what got me there.
Yeah, be careful when you're writing stuff like that. But, gosh, Cal, we thank you so much for the time that you've spent with
so
us this afternoon, you know, and just, you know, sharing the benefits of working with a personal trainer in general and of course, hearing your personal story with everything. But, you guys, we are nearing the end of the show, but you've got one more little segment with John and I. So please stick around. We're going to take a quick break. You are listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.
Hey, this is Will Gamble, and you're listening to 90.7 The Capstone.
Welcome back to Fifth Tie with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone. And we want to thank you for spending your Sunday afternoon with us, part of your Sunday afternoon with us anyway, to learn a little bit more about fitness and exercise science. And thank you, Cal Talker, for being our guest today. A lot of good information from him. And we spent today talking more about the fitness side of things compared to last week, Sheena, where we, you know, took the nutrition take on things.
That's right.
And last week when we were wrapping up, we, you know, we spent a little time talking about the freshman 15 and how it's not really the freshman 15. It's, you know, that it's been trending down over the past few years. And, you know, the last year or two, you know, we're looking at where it might be a pound, if that, on average that a freshman gains. One thing I want to talk about, I want to mention this last little segment here is, you know, the exercise science part of it, or the, we talked about the nutrition part of it last week. Can you think of some other things for outside of nutrition that might, that might be a cause of people gaining weight during their college age years? Because, and I'm careful how I say that, because it's not just freshmen. It's what we do know. The research shows is it's not just people who are in college, just people who are post-high school.
Right, right. Well, you know, and I, one thing I tell my clients all the time is that when you think about what that lifestyle was like in high school compared to college, there's so many different factors, because for one, you know, our time schedule and just things that are expected of us is completely different. We're probably awake at hours in college that we were not normally awake in high school. You know, there's less of a structured schedule, so we're really left to our own devices as far as if we're going to eat, what we're going to eat, you know, when, where, and same thing goes for the fitness piece as well. But, you know, I would think certainly heightened stress. And one thing that I also mentioned to my female clients too, they often have this expectation that whatever weight they were as potentially a prepubescent high schooler is, you know, what they want to return back to when they're in college. And you just have to explain to them that just natural growth and just the way, and I'll speak, you know, from a women's point of view, just how, you know, body composition is supposed to evolve as they get older. I think that there are some, you know, weight changes and, of course, body composition that changes too. But, you know, kind of thinking about the physical activity aspect, you know, what's kind of your take on everything, John?
One of the things that it really jumps out at me that's different from high school to college is that, and if you think about it logically, it makes sense to me. You know, in high school, you get up and you go to school and you're in class for 8 hours a day. Probably 50 to 60% of the students in high school, maybe even higher, participate in something right after high school, whether it's an athletic event, you know, band, things like that, that are actually active. So you go from an 8 hour day to 2 or 3 more hours of practice. So you're looking at an 11 hour day of movement, physical activity, compared to once you get to college, taking 3 or 4 classes, maybe 5 classes, where you go in and sit in class. You might ride a bus to class instead of walking. And then when you finish that, then what do you do with that extra time? Because then that's 4 or 5 hours you've got to spare that you were busy during high school. So you're not as active, you know, or you can be more active. It's just a matter of what you choose to do with those hours.
Most definitely. Yep. Like, am I going to choose to power nap? Am I going to choose to go to the library to study? Or am I going to choose to use that as a window of opportunity for physical activity?
Right. And to add on to that, too, you talk about, you know, the hours that you're awake longer. Well, that's hours that you could be, you're either going to spend part of those hours eating, or you're going to spend part of those hours being more active too. So, you know, how you choose to use those as well. So.
I know. And that's something I'll probably need to consider for myself. I would love to go back to a high school schedule. I played tennis in high school.
Did you?
I did. Yeah. I wasn't the number one seed or rank. My butt would always get kicked by international students at other high schools that were, you know, from Asia or Europe, and my little small town skills could not compete.
Was it just because you were small and not as strong? Or?
Maybe. My dad was a personal, he was a private tennis instructor, and learned a lot from him, but I was just not as disciplined, kind of going back to not ever practicing piano. I just, not too much going on. I don't know.
That's awesome.
Oh, man. Well, we're wrapping up the afternoon, and you guys, it has just been great. We appreciate the time that you've spent with us this afternoon talking fitness. We have got so many great guests coming up this fall on the topic of health, but you have been listening to Fit to Be Tied with Sheena and John on 90.7 The Capstone.